Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Cosmic Connections. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. And, folks, I'm having some problems here bringing up Joanna Carmichael, my guest tonight, and Blanca on Facebook. We did our testings earlier, but for some reason, I don't know what it is that's creating the problem where it's not working correctly. Hold on here just a minute. Let's try this again. Let's see here. I think I have to switch my cameras over, folks. I think that's what created the problem. So hold on here, okay? We're going to remove that one. I'm going to come to this one. Okay, that's that one. And then I bring this one back in. And let's see if that's going to work on Facebook. I don't know. Darn it. Because it was working fine. Joanna, why don't you go ahead and talk? And Blanca, why don't you go ahead and talk? And let's just see what we can do, and I'll keep going. It worked earlier when we tested it.
It did.
It did. Darn.
Just give it a minute. Take a breath.
Take a breath.
So, Dave, do only you show on Facebook right now?
Yes, it's just me. It's just me showing up on Facebook.
Well, now instead of just one female voice, there's going to be two female voices.
Okay, I think it's going to start coming up. Let me see. I think it is. It was showing the other little things I was doing. No, it's still not doing it. Oh, darn. Well, folks, the program tonight, I don't know what's going to go on here. We tried it earlier. Everything worked good.
How about refresh the page?
Well, I did. I've refreshed my Facebook page because it's still showing me as being live there. Okay, well, I've got to turn that off, that volume off. Okay. Let's try this one more time. Okay, the Zoom window. Execute. I don't know why it's not bringing up the Zoom window when it worked earlier for us. Let's check here. Wow.
Is there a way to bring us both on Facebook?
I don't know how to do that. Everything worked earlier. This isn't working. But I was going to say, folks, for the first time in 5 years, you're going to be able to see Blanca, actually have her on video tonight. And I don't know what's going on here. Okay. We might
just have to do audio, Dave.
I know. Let's try this. I'm going to try redoing this stuff again. We're going to do the Zoom meeting, execute. See if that's going to work. Because it should bring up, because I've got, it normally should bring up the whole screen. Hold on. Oh, it's working. It is working. Okay. All right. Okay. I just didn't have my Facebook window extended enough, but Joanna and Blanca, welcome to the program tonight. Now they see me in a separate window, so yes. And folks, Blanca and Joanna, why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit and make sure everybody can hear you, and folks on Facebook, let's hear your comments. I think we're working.
Okay, Joanna. Hi, Blanca. How are you Thank you. Doing great, and I'm glad people are joining us, and this will be a new experience for us all.
I should say, folks, everybody that's listening in for, what is it now? Blanca, how long has it been? Has it been, what, 5.5 years we've been together?
Yeah.
This is your first time they get to see you on camera. And folks, my friend Joanna Carmichael, I did my very first workshop in March of 2014, and we did that in Dallas, Texas, and it turned out to work so well, I thought, I got to do some more of these. And then so I scheduled my next one in May of 2014 in Philadelphia, and Joanna was there, and we have known each other ever since, been good friends. And I shared with you in the newsletter this summit that she's got coming up. It's a full 5-day summit around healthcare issues. That's her background. That's her expertise. She's absolutely wonderful in it. I just thought, you know what? I wanted to bring her on the program tonight because we've been good friends for so many years, but she does such a great job of what we do. And I know my program predominantly, you know, evolves around the currency exchange and the money. But if you don't have your health, your money doesn't do much for you. And Joanna is a great person to add to that. And then Blanca, you'll get to do our normal little back and forth with the comments as we normally do. And it's really nice to have you here. I mean, you and I have seen each other many times, but for the folks, everybody gets to see Blanca tonight for the first time. So, okay. Well, first of all, then, on the updates on the currency exchange, there is nothing new other than the fact that everything is developing well. What I had shared last week was basically we got confirmation from multiple sources that basically between the countries of the United States and China, China said, let's go, we're ready to do it. And the United States was saying, well, not quite yet. But that's how close it is for all this stuff starting to develop. And we're starting to see things unfold, what I call in the global politics about ready for the shift and the change that's coming forward. So, but that's all I'm going to say on that tonight. With that, I'm going to introduce my good friend Joanna Carmichael. She has a bachelor's degree in nursing. She was in the nursing field for a number of years, for about 20 years. She worked in the pharmaceutical industry. But then she made that transition of understanding what is called the actual wonderful benefits of Eastern medicine versus what is called the system that we have in Western medicine. And then she went on and she got her PhD in basically divinity and metaphysics. So she comes from that full, complete background of understanding the balance that is there about how is it that we take care of our bodies and have this full functioning life that we have. In past programs, you've heard me talk about how important it is to keep ourselves in what is called a high frequency vibration, not only in our thoughts, but also within our bodies. And I've referred to you many times that wonderful book, The Autobiography of Jesus, and he talks about that in there, about the importance of keeping yourself in a very high vibratory state, but you need to do it within your body as well. Because you can be a high vibration in your thoughts, but if your body is not functioning well, you're lacking. You're incomplete and able to process and understand everything that is that's going on around you. So I want to introduce my good friend, Joanna. Why don't you go ahead and take it from there? Because you're someone who really understands the issues about how we keep our bodies, physical bodies, in a high vibratory state and the benefits of that. So it's yours.
That introduction. I've actually been a nurse for over 35 years and did pharmaceutical research for over 20. So my nursing career started out in psychiatric nursing, which I did for 2 years, and then I got derailed into the pharmaceutical industry. I did research. I have nothing to do with the ads on TV. And I researched in every therapeutic area. I worked both on the pharmaceutical research side, on the pharma side, and then I started my own company when I was 26 and started putting people in drug studies. So I marketed myself as a study coordinator, helping physicians conduct clinical research. So on both sides of that coin, we were, you know, we were tasked with ensuring the integrity of research data. And so it was very high pressure, a lot of deadlines, timelines, certain amount of time to get the, you know, to get the drug to market. It cost millions of dollars. And then, of course, to capitalize on, you know, on the amount of time that the drug was on patent. So I'm intimately familiar with the drug approval process and what it takes to get a drug to market. Unfortunately, let me back up. So when I started my company, I simultaneously started studying metaphysics and divinity and Eastern philosophies, which resulted in two doctorates in those things. And then I went on to study Ayurvedic medicine, which is medicine philosophy from India that literally means the wisdom of life. And then naturally meditation and yoga and tantra follow that philosophy. And so as I was doing both, which was quite a paradox, doing pharmaceutical research for a living and then having a passion in Eastern studies and religion and Ayurveda, I started to get very disillusioned by the pharmaceutical industry and kind of saw corruption firsthand. And so that evolved to me being an outspoken critic against Big Pharma, the corruption of Big Pharma. Now, we certainly need drugs and surgery. We certainly need research, and drugs have saved many lives. This is an anti-Western medicine. But the way we do it is kind of backwards. We look towards pharma and surgery for the solutions when we really should be looking for natural remedies first and then using Western medicine as a last resort. So that's kind of what got me to where I am now.
Block, anything you would like to add to that? Any questions you would have?
No, that's a fascinating trajectory, and it's interesting how you obviously had the interest in health and wellness, and you started under a more conventional path. But obviously, you were meant for much bigger, broader, deeper things, and fortunately, you listened to that calling. A lot of people will snuff it out and want to play the game. But you were brave enough to follow that.
Yeah, well, you know, studying metaphysics became a passion for me. I read probably more books than, once I was into metaphysics, I read more books in the next 5 years than I read in my entire life. And that's how it resulted in doctoral degrees, because I thought I might as well do something with it. I wasn't going to really do anything other than continue my studies. I went on to be an interfaith minister, only to deepen my existing studies and experience of spirituality. But then when the disconnect really started to happen, and I really got to see the harm that Western medicine causes in many regards, and that we treat sickness, but it really isn't a healthcare system, it's a disease management system. And so while Western medicine is excellent at treating trauma and infectious disease in some cases, it really fails in the more chronic diseases. And with very little attention to food and diet and lifestyle and stress reduction and relationships and all the things that create, you know, multidimensional health, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So that's kind of how it evolved. And also seeing corruption firsthand where, you know, the professionals that are in pharma and even the FDA and the CDC are well-meaning doctors and nurses and biologists and things like that. But, you know, you're kind of brainwashed into this toxic paradigm of treat the symptom, not the cause. And so while we are looking for cures, and we were there to ensure the integrity of research data, your hard work could get undone by a payoff if they wanted to make sure that the drug got to market.
And I think what we're seeing in the medical industry is what we see in so many other areas that what I call in our Western culture, is that it's driven first most by profit. It's a for-profit industry. And if what is being prescribed is not delivering a profit to the end users, it's kind of shunned and set aside. Now, in the interview that I had with you, Joanna, because I'm one of the people that's going to be on your program, we talked about my time when I was a state senator and the experiences that I had. And I would experience that firsthand where people would come in and want some legislation changed, would have won what was good, common sense care for the individual, and yet the medical or the pharmaceutical industry would come in with their lobbyists and just shut it down because there's no profit in that for them. If they couldn't find and see a profit in it, they would just shut down legislation. They would manipulate, they would use their power and their influence through money to manipulate what laws would be passed. And again, it was always based on what was beneficial first to them as an industry, and then the client and the patient was secondary to the issue of the money.
It does cost a lot of money to do research, and many times they hide behind that and saying that's why the drugs cost so much, but only about 11% goes toward research. The rest is towards lobbying.
Yeah, I know. Even at the state level, I experienced firsthand there was no shortage of campaign contributions that came from the pharmaceutical companies. Every one of them would always max me out in their campaign contributions. Now, at a state level, it was a little different, is because, you know, there was a maximum contribution that they could give. And at the end of the day, you know, nobody could give you more than 1 to 1.5% of everything you would raise over a 2 to 4 year election cycle. But still, there was no shortage. I mean, there was no shortage at all from that industry.
Virtual event that is free to the public, and it's called From Pharma to Dharma, and which is the name of a book that I'm writing, and it is about unlocking the truth behind the pharmaceutical industry, the food industry, and factory farms. So as you know, Dave, I'm an animal freakazoid. I love animals, and you know, I'm an animal activist, and you know, the factory farm industry and big pharma and food industry are inextricably intertwined, and in very sad and devastating ways, both to people, the people who work in these industries, and the animals, and subsequently the planet. So, you know, it's the one affects the whole in each of those, you know, in humans, animals, and the planet.
Well, you touched on another topic, Joanne, and that's about the food that we eat. And if we are eating any types of animal-based products, whether it's meat, you know, from cows, hamburgers, etc., or chicken, you look at those that are raised to become a product for basically the food industry. You know, the chickens are kept in these little tiny cages. The cows are all crammed in together. So what you have are animals that are operating and living in a low, very low vibrational state. And that energy, that low vibration energy, carries over to the food that we eat. Even though we cook it and fry it, it's still very, very low vibrational food if we're going to, you know, partake of that. And that's why what I've learned is if you're going to eat chicken, if you're going to eat, you know, hamburgers and meat like that, always try to make sure that it comes from animals that are range, full range animals. The chickens are out full and in the fields with the grass and the whole works, and the cows have complete open freedom to operate. And it also goes back to the milk that you drink, all of it. If it comes from them, you know, and there's still a lot of us, I mean, a lot of our culture still takes in all those products.
And then when the calf is born, the calf is ripped away from its mother. And the cow has, you know, a terrible emotional reaction to that, as any mother would have a reaction to having her child ripped away from her. And that's for our milk consumption. So, you know, and when the animals are mistreated and, you know, not cared for, they don't even get adequate veterinary care when they're having issues, like mastitis or, you know, their hoof, you know, issues with their feet and their hoof. You know, it's just a very, very cruel industry, and we're actually consuming that. You know, we're consuming the fear and the grief and the sadness, because metaphysically, everything we think, say, and do counts. Everything, every emotion that we're feeling is in our each cell of our body. So when an animal has been abused and then slaughtered, humane and slaughtered to me don't belong in the same sentence, but you know, when they're tortured first and then inhumanely slaughtered, they're, you know, you're eating that fear and that grief and all those emotions that they're guilty of put upon them. And the workers who are doing that are also usually very oppressed themselves and are taking out anger and oppression on the animals. And so it's just a lose system all around. And then what I learned, you know, the deeper I delved into this, the animals, you know, what it takes to farm these animals, the land, the amount of corn and soy, you know, products and grains that these animals are fed that are usually genetically modified, you know, that goes into their bodies, which ultimately goes into ours. And the pharmaceuticals used to treat them, antibiotics so they grow faster, or steroids so they grow faster. Antibiotics to prevent disease, vaccination, you know, all kinds of things. That's a big part of Big Pharma and why Big Pharma doesn't want to farm animals with 3%. So it's very, very interconnected, the waste management of all these animals. And all that land and water and, you know, areas to grow food, to be food for people where they wouldn't have to, we shouldn't have any starving people.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing when someone's going on a healing journey, of course, they're going to do their detox, which is a very important step. But it, no matter what it is, when I've looked into it, different maladies, let's put it that way, but there's always a start with diet. Take a look at your diet. And I just realized it's not just the nutritious aspect or, you know, vitamin aspect, supplement aspect. But the energetic aspect is probably why people also find that when they're a little more conscious about their diet, they feel better, they start to heal. And I didn't realize about the energy of the food also has an impact on your malady or your disease, not just the food material itself. So that's a key insight.
Yeah, absolutely. In Ayurveda, you know, we have a very specific way of eating, which is you know, definitely not mainstream, and it's all based on the energetics of the food and the flavors of the food, and, excuse me, the amount of prana or life force or chi that's in the food. So, you know, an apple that you picked from, you know, an orchard in your yard is going to have a lot of life force in it, and then you're in turn taking that in, and it's going to give you life force, and not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So it's going to raise your consciousness just by definition, while, you know, compare that to eating, you know, an animal that's been abused and slaughtered and, you know, and then you're cooking it maybe, you know, in anger too, you know, on top of it, because we, you know, we need to be, you know, in a loving and high vibrational state when we're preparing our food, when we're, you know, in gratitude and appreciation. And not frustration or anger or upset or depression, because all those energies go into our food. And in Ayurveda, we recognize that, because Ayurveda is a consciousness-based system of health and well-being.
Let me share something I learned when I was, again, you know, in our Senate. Being in Washington State, what most people don't know is that Washington's biggest industry is agriculture, because Eastern Washington is all agriculture. So the agriculture industry there is huge. And Washington was always traditionally known as the apple state. It would produce more apples than almost anywhere else in the world. They said that almost 80% of the world's apples, at least this was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, was coming from that whole greater, what was called the Yakima, Wenatchee Valley area. But here's what most people don't know, is that you go into a store and you're going to purchase an apple and you think that you're getting a fresh fruit. But what most people don't know is that the industry is so huge that the fruit would be, you know, picked during the ripe season, which was, you know, September, October of the year. And then 90% of the fruit is put into a cold storage. And then chemicals are added to it so it still keeps its fresh aspect, And then by the time, and that fruit would sit in that cold storage for sometimes 8 months, 10 months, a year to a year and a half before it makes its way to the store. But because it's been in a type of a cold storage that has chemicals added to it, it keeps its what it's called its fresh texture, but it's lost all of its fresh energy. So don't think that just because you're buying fresh fruit in the store that you're actually getting fresh fruit. You're not. And also don't think that if you're buying organic in the store that you're getting the same thing. It may be have been organically grown, but it was not organically stored. You can grow an apple organically, and then it still goes through the same storage process of the non-organics, and it sits in this chemical cold storage facility for sometimes a year and a half before it comes to the store, but it's advertised as organic. So,
yeah, the specifications are pretty minimal on
yeah.
those, as they are with the animals, and that's why it's important to buy local and fresh organic when you can, but like from farmers markets and things that are locally grown, for exactly
yes.
that reason, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's true too in the farm animal industry. You know, I know you said, you know, if you are going to eat meat, you know, make sure it's, you know, pasture raised or grass fed and that type of thing. You know, but the specifications are can be so minimal on that. I just learned today that you know, people think they're doing themselves a favor by doing that, but grass-fed could mean that a little calf has a little grass when it's a little baby calf, and that's pretty much it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's past, you know, it's grazing in pastures and eating grass and having a natural, happy life. It's actually the opposite, and same with the chickens. And, you know, they're kept in battery cages when they're factory farmed. But when they say free range, that doesn't always mean what we might envision it to mean, where they're, you know, they're running around and you know, getting in the dirt and picking their food and eating fresh food and getting fresh water. That's not always the case. The cages might just be a little bigger, or they're allowed out through a little hole in the shed, and that's what's considered free range.
Yes. Yeah.
So really have to, you know, delve a little deeper into that.
Well, you touched on something that was really important, is that the food that we eat is a very, very large part of the energy of our bodies to be in high frequency, you know, beings. The food we eat is a very, very large part of that. And if we're constantly taking in what is called low energy food, if that's what we're consuming, it's like what you said, you know, the cows are, you know, the steroids. I mean, I go back to the Costco chickens. You buy these Costco chickens. They're, if you notice how big and fat they are, they've had steroids pumped into them. They've been raised in cages, you know, and so everything about them is low energy within them. And then that's what we're consuming. And so it's just, if you're going to do it, be aware of it. Be aware of it, is that what you're taking in, and be aware of the energy you're taking in through the food that you're eating. People want to say, well, organic costs more. But here's what's interesting, what I've read. If you eat healthy raised or healthy grown food that is retaining its high energy, the amount of food you need drops. So you will find you're consuming far less of the food, because food is what? The reason we take in the food is energy for our body. So if you're taking in high energy food, high vibratory energy food, you don't need as much. So you find out that in some ways you're actually spending less, because if you're consuming low energy vibratory food, it takes a lot more to fill you up, or to make you restore that energy that you need from your food.
Well, and it also causes a lot of different imbalances. And in the body's effort to maintain homeostasis, it will keep trying to adjust and detoxify all of that processed food and the chemicals and the antibiotics and the vaccines and you know, whatever else is in there. You know, we body. And, you know, when you do go through a cleanse or a detox, you know, you find that emotionally you detox, mentally you detox, and then spiritually you find that you become more connected. So, you know, it doesn't even really matter where you start, but usually people start with a physical detox, thinking they're just going to clean out the body, but what inevitably ends up happening is it functions multidimensionally and affects the whole. You know, which is what really holistic medicine, functional medicine, Ayurveda, Chinese medicine is all about, is that it's, you know, there's not just one piece, there's not just one system. You know, you're treating cardiovascular disease, inflammation there, but you're treating inflammation in the body when you do it holistically.
Yeah.
So drugs just manipulate numbers. So, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, and unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of propaganda, and people have bought into the narrative that you need meat protein and that you need dairy, and those things are not really true. We're the only mammals that that consume milk from another animal. No other animals do that. You know, mammals produce milk for their young. So when we're consuming dairy, it's very congested to the physiology, not to mention how the animals are treated. And you know, it's not very holistic to think of it any other way.
Decades ago, when Congress and the FDA was in the process of deciding what are the basic food groups, what I was told was they were not going to include dairy until the powerful lobby industry forced Congress to include it in the basic food groups. And again, it was about profit. It wasn't about health sustainability. Blanca, I think you were going to share something.
Well, yes. It's like in almost any structure or institution, we find that it serves its purpose. And now it's instead of being a benefit or a good, it could be actually detrimental to us. Or we have to be a little more sophisticated about it. Joanna, when you said that, you know, Western medicine has its place, the technology, you know, does save lives, but there's a whole wealth of information and wisdom, proven practice in some of these other things like Ayurvedic medicine or diet. That sort of thing. So I think as a humanity, we have to now broaden our repertoire, let's say. We've got a lot of wisdom in our history. And lately, as Joanna said, we've been propagandized or brainwashed to just focus on one particular aspect of our wisdom. And now it's time to open that up again. So, for example, some people may throw up their hands and say, well, I can't raise chickens, I can't raise cows, and, you know, I'm working all the time, I need to go to the grocery store. But you said, Joanne, hey, how about the way you cook your meal? Can you be in a very good state? How about when you have your dinner? So, for example, Joanne, you have very beautiful flowers there. Do you put, you know, some flowers on your table when you're going to eat or something? You see, so maybe you may not be able to raise your own chickens and all that, but you can affect the dynamics and the vibration around your experience of cooking or eating the food. And I think you alluded to that as well, Joanna.
Absolutely, and you know, you can change the energy of the things you're eating. I mean, I had a dog that was sick with cancer, and I was feeding him you know, home cooked meals, and I would pray over the meat that I got for him and the vegetables, and just try to change the consciousness with which I was doing it, and just offering a lot of gratitude for the animals that sacrificed and for the plants that provided it. And I think that's a very important piece. You know, in Ayurveda we have something called sadhana, which is like a sacred act. And so we want to make eating a sacred act. And as you said, like, I have placemats on the table and candles and flowers, and it's not, you know, eating just standing up at your kitchen sink. We don't actually digest well, or, you know, multitasking in your car. You know, it's really about the lifestyle that you're cultivating. And then really, once you bring that awareness, that consciousness to what it is you're doing, that mindfulness, that present moment awareness, you start to change. You can't help but change because you become the silent witness of what you're doing. And then you look at it and say, wow, that doesn't really make any sense. Or, wow, I don't feel good when I do that. But, you know, the pharmaceutical ads on the TV are the most eat your favorite foods and, you know, do what's making you sick to begin with, and there's a drug to treat it. So, you know, that's the message we're given. And nurses and doctors are not trained. You know, the DOs, the doctors of osteopathy, are trained in a more holistic fashion, but they have to practice like the MDs because the insurance companies dictate that. And insurance companies are allowed to practice medicine without a license. Now, I could go to jail for doing that if I could say I'm going to diagnose, prescribe, or treat something. But insurance companies do it every day. And so, you know, this is part of taking our power back and as a collective saying, this needs to change. This really needs to change, and we need to demand it. And so that's why I'm doing the summit, is to provide education, especially in these crazy times of COVID. It is time to take our power back in every regard.
You know, there's a side note that I had just thought about, is that for those of us that go back many years or even some decades, and if we grew up in any type of a religious or Christian environment, we were always taught to pray over our food. But what we don't realize with the history and the background of that was, it was understanding that we carry within us a very high vibrational energy. And the practice of literally laying your hands on it and blessing it is that you really are transferring the energy of yourself into something that may have been a low vibrational energy food source, you know, a cow or a chicken or something like that. That is something that we have the ability to do. Having grown up in the Northwest and the history of the Native Americans in the Northwest, it was understanding how much the salmon was so much a part of their life and their culture. Their whole life and culture evolved around the salmon. But what was unique about the Native Americans is that they honored it and they respected it. When they would always have their what was called their sacred ceremonies of basically giving thanks to the salmon for providing the substance for them. They acknowledged and recognized that they were living animals, but were there also providing a sustenance for them. And they had very large, what you call sacred ceremonies, all based around the salmon because that was the sustenance of their life. And then when you went into the Midwest, the Native Americans did that with the buffaloes. The buffalo was the very substance of their life. It became a source of everything that they carried out through their culture, but they treated it with respect, and they understood it was a gift. That shifts and changes the whole energy of the animal itself that we are then consuming, because then they recognize that they're basically giving of themselves to provide, and they carry that consciousness within themselves as well. So it's always, and it comes, part of that thing comes back to the practice of what we can do today, is that don't take for granted the blessing or laying your hands on the food and blessing it and understanding you're transferring very powerful positive energy from yourself into the food and raising its vibration before you consume it.
And get messages from them because I know I'm part of the same consciousness. And they also, they treat it with respect and with reverence, and they don't waste. You know, so an animal, you know, they may not only be used for food, but they also would use the skins and use every part of it, but not just pull frivolously or for no reason. The Aborigines have telepathically communicated with the animals so that, you know, there's a sacred contract that an animal might come by their path and know that it will be sacrificed for the meal that night, and it's a sacred contract. So there's a very rich spirituality with that, with those cultures as well, that really we don't have any clue about.
Yeah. Well, Joanna, tell us a little bit more about your summit. You've got the number of different guest speakers, and it's over a 5-year period of time. And folks, I'll send out some more information in the newsletter that you can, again, get back to the links to click on that, but to click on the links to get you to her information. But tell us about your summit. There's part of it that's free, and then there's also part of it that people can choose to pay for.
Yeah, well, the summit will go live on the 5th of April, and it will run for 5 days, and there will be 2 interviews per day. And as you mentioned, Dave is one of my speakers, which I'm so happy about. We have a very interesting and lively discussion. And so I've got Dr. Will Tuttle. He wrote The World Peace Diet, which is really a very, very beautiful book about living sustainably and with great consciousness and nonviolence. I have Joanne Farb, who's a former pharmaceutical person. I have Ingrid Newkirk, who is the president of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I've got Dr. Brian Clement of the Hippocrates Institute, Jen Shoemaker, who's a naturopathic doctor, Dr. Larissa Sharapova, who is a functional medicine doctor, and Mark Sloan, who I actually just interviewed, who wrote an excellent book on cancer. It's a conspiracy and the crime conspiracy and the death of his mother. And he's got some great information about prevention and treatment of cancer that is not pharmaceuticals, it's not burn, slash, and poison, you know, surgery, drugs, or radiation. So, and then I've got Beth Greer that I'm interviewing this week, who is going to talk about sustainability and electromagnetic frequencies and GMOs and the toxins in our environment, as well as how the animals and is an animal activist as well. So I'm very, very excited about it. The summit is free. Each day, people will be invited to listen to two of the interviews, which will air for 48 hours. And then there'll be a replay for 72 hours at the end of the summit over the weekend. And then people can buy the recordings for only $49. And then if they want to be in the VIP group, they can get for $99 a lot of the free gifts that people, the authors and speakers are offering.
Okay. Well, Blanca, is there anything else you would like to add to what we've discussed here?
Well, I was just thinking if people are, first of all, interested in being more proactive about their own wellness and health and that of their family, here's a great way to get some information from yourself, from very expert, knowledgeable people. Or if it's something that's totally new to you, the getting a little bit more proactive about your health and learning about the different aspects of it, because as Joanna mentioned, it's not just the physical thing. Here's another way to maybe start your adventure and learning about that. I think the best way, I learned about this because I had a very difficult diagnosis several years ago, and I also decided not to do a flash burn pickup. And so that's how my journey began. So I would suggest to people, probably better to do it before you need to, so that you may not be on quite the journey as some people who need to do it in order to save their lives. So thank you, Joanna, for putting that together. And Dave, I'm sure you'll ask her about links and how people can, you know, make sure they get your program.
Blanca, you bring up a very important thing. You know, prevention is obviously the best way to prevent something before it starts. And in Ayurveda, you know, you become so conscious of what's going on in your body, mind, and heart, and spirit, that you can, you know, we treat a little bit of disturbance, you know, a little insomnia, a little stress, a little digestive disturbance before it becomes a tumor on a lymph node, you know, treat the symptom, not the cause. It's very much about the whole. But then when you are facing a health challenge, there's always a lesson in it. And so, you know, to be able to tune into, okay, why is this happening to me? What is the lesson? What is it that my body is trying to tell me? And, you know, when I've done meditations with people and I have them dialogue with that part of their body that, you know, is giving them the message, and I'm always amazed at what the body has to say to us when we listen. And so, you know, just that shift can start people on a healing journey. You know, sometimes just being listened to. You know, a lot of the studies I did every therapeutic area when I was in pharma, but I did do a lot of cardiology because that was near and dear to my heart. But, you know, heart disease is about matters of the heart. And so, you know, in my journey in pharma and getting to spend a lot of time with these people as a research coordinator, you know, I knew their families and their stories and their grandchildren and, you know, they could have been doing all of the things right physically, eating a good diet, managing their stress. But if they were in a bad marriage or a job that they dreaded going to on Monday morning, a lot of heart attacks happen 9 a.m. Monday morning because of that 9 o'clock, that Sunday night, I have to go to work tomorrow, and waiting for Friday to get here. You know, that all works on our heart, and heart disease has, you know, it has to do with forgiveness, you know. Children being estranged from their parents, no joy in their life, and they have heart disease. So, you know, it's very literal metaphysically. When you have a shoulder issue, you're shouldering a burden. You know, the hip is about movement forward in life and, you know, changing direction in life. So metaphysically, you know, looking at those things and why you're affected by a particular malady is equally important, so that you can get the lesson and do the inner work, which is always about forgiveness and is always about love and compassion, and really, and for yourself, especially.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Joanna, as you're saying that, because at the very central core part of the teachings of A Course in Miracles is that life always first starts with the thoughts. And then it goes on and says that all of your sicknesses that are within your body, whether it's sicknesses, diseases, or even injuries, are extensions of low vibrational thinking. It first starts with low vibrational thinking, and then the body then carries it out as an extension of that in its continuation. And so usually the bodily sicknesses are a result of not stopping some form of low vibrational thinking. And you touched on that about the lack of forgiveness, the lack of release, the anger, the frustration, the fear. Those are all things that add to the sicknesses in our body. I've shared many times on this program is that I don't experience fear anymore. I just don't. And I noticed when I made that shift and change in my life, because it was around 15 years ago, I was experiencing that I wasn't accomplishing or getting done what I wanted to get done predominantly because of fear. I was allowing fear to stop me from being productive. When I started focusing on the fear and it started fading away, I have noticed it's extremely rare for me to get sick. I rarely, rarely have any forms of sicknesses anymore. If I do, I can catch it right away, and then I release it. Sometimes I may come up with a 24-hour flu, and I acknowledge this, okay, if I have this, there's something it wants to communicate. There's a reason, there's a form of communication, so that it's not detrimental. There's something that's positive that's coming with this temporary situation. But it all starts within our thoughts. It all starts with how we process our thoughts. And because the, go ahead. Yes.
Judgment or condemnation, but just look at that and go, isn't that interesting? And then you can feel it if you need to feel it, and then release it with love.
Yeah.
And then the energy is free to leave. It's not about resistance or fighting cancer or fighting disease. You know, we have a lot of antihypertensives, antidepressants, anti-anxiety. You know, and what we resist persists. So when you're going at it with that consciousness. It's, you're not freeing the energy up to leave, to do, tell you what it has to tell you and then leave.
Yeah, that's very well stated. Very well said. And, I had a thought, but that's okay. Blanca, anything you'd like to share on that? Or are we kind of get ready to wrap up?
It's a fascinating topic because you were inspired because what she just said, with the meditation, we can even find, and I'm not going to expand on it, but it's probably going to be something you'll talk about, you know, even ancestral healing can be touched on with the meditation. That's pretty deep as well. And right now, I think because of where we are in our journey and consciousness of humanity, we're probably doing a lot of that right now as a species.
Yeah.
Healing a lot of ancestral trauma.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Blanca, because I wanted to mention that as well. And when we're doing, you know, when we're taking responsibility and we are putting the onus back on ourselves to manage our own healing physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that also includes karmically and ancestrally. And
yeah.
I've been doing a lot of transformational work on myself, which I've been doing for a really long time. And I'm just blown away by some of the stuff that would come to the surface that has to do with my parents' limiting beliefs and their consciousness and growing up in the war and the tragedies that they had. And knowing that when I'm working on myself and that's coming up, and looking at it non-judgmentally with love and compassion, my compassion for them has deepened. Although they've been gone for a long time, I feel my relationship with them has deepened. But I also know that I'm helping them on the other side, and I'm helping the ancestors that, you know, where it's all created and part of my own karma that I'm holding on in the field. And it can all be released, and that is a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to do for your ancestors and release that karma, because that's a part that, you know, that's never spoken about, you know, why we have illnesses and things like that. Many times it is karma.
Well, then, are we ready to wrap it up, Joanna? Was there anything else that you'd like to share with us before we kind of call it a night here? We've been going for, almost 55 minutes.
Does anybody, I don't know if you're on Blog Talk, does anybody have questions?
Well, we are on Blog Talk. In fact, I haven't asked that. There is the, well, there's been some people in Facebook that have been making some comments there, but there wasn't too many. All right. Where did I got to refresh my Facebook page here. Where did it go? What happened here for me? I lost my connection to my Facebook page. I don't know. I mean, I'm still on Facebook, but I can't see my page. I don't know where it went. So, yeah. But, oh, there we are. Now I'll be back on. So, yeah.
People can get to the summit, you know, through Dave has the links. He has an affiliate link of all the speakers too, but you can find the opt-in page on karmatodharma.com. That's a way to get right to it. And there's a video on there telling you about the summit. And if you want to opt in to any of the packages, you can certainly do that. And I can be found at pharmatodharma.org is my website if you want to learn more about me and what I'm doing and my practice. And drjoannacarmichael.com is a product site where my favorite products and things that I believe in.
I am not seeing anybody on Blog Talk saying that they want to call in, and I'm not seeing any specific questions on the Facebook and the comments page. There's just some nice comments, like one just says, I'm delighted to see this topic. People have been resistant to this information, and it's good to see there's more interest. And I'm coming back, just as folks, you know, my primary focus is, again, on the money. But money and health are tied hand in hand, folks. It comes back to the wish issues of the awareness of our consciousness, how we think, and what good does all your money do for you if you don't have your good health? You know, there's always, we tie each other, those get to have what is called a full, vibrant, and abundant life. is to have both of those in a very healthy context. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to bring in this tonight. And Joanna, you've done such a wonderful, wonderful job. As I said, you're an expert in this field and very broad-based. And I encourage people to go to her website, and I encourage folks to tap into the summit that she's got coming up. So
I'm very, very excited about the summit. It's been a dream of mine to finish my book, which is Pharma to Dharma, a Nurse's Journey from the Dark Side of Medicine to the Light. And so the Pharma to Dharma Summit is kind of the first piece of this journey enhancing my practice with this type of information. And it might seem overwhelming. I just want to kind of preface it by saying, some of the information is going to be hard to hear, hard to learn about, but please persevere. We're not going to get anywhere if we keep our head in the sand. And changes that you're invited to make can happen over time. I came about being a vegetarian in a very organic way, and there are ways to do it. There will actually be a 5-day challenge after the summit at the end of April to kind of help people start to make dietary changes and shift their consciousness to put some of the things that we're going to talk about into practice. So it doesn't, please don't let it overwhelm you. There is a way to do it that is gentle, and that will just raise your vibration.
Well, I have to admit that it is having some impact on me, because it's in the last 4 to 6 months that, I've been a hamburger lover, okay? I love my hamburger. I love my steak. But I am cutting way, way back on the amount of red meat that I'm consuming. I can't remember the last time I had a steak. I think I had a hamburger last week, but I'm cutting way, way back on that, because I'm realizing it's not really healthy for you. There's not a lot of good health in what we call consuming red meat. It's been a part of our culture for a long time, but yet on the other hand, it's something that's not real, really deeply, especially in the condition it's in today. Now, if we go back to our grandparents' era, who lived naturally, they basically slaughtered the cow that lived in the field with them, and their chickens were always running around all the time. It was a totally different era for them, because they were basically consuming animals that were healthy animals. And today they're massively consumed, they're massively produced, they're filled with steroids, and it's all pumped up for profit. And so we're seeing a complete difference in the culture today than what we had from the time of our grandparents and back. So
that's an important point, because most of my speakers are going to tell our audience about, we all grew up the same way, meat and potatoes.
That's right.
So you come to it in consciousness. And really, the more you pray, the more you meditate, the more you work on yourself, the more you do work in consciousness, you'll find these things, the more you do yoga especially, you'll find you don't want it anymore. That's a more inspired place to be coming from, rather than, you shouldn't, or you're going to get heart disease, or if you smoke, you're going to get cancer. Scaring people is not the way to make changes. But when you're doing practice, spiritual practice, and really working on your mind and managing your mind and your emotions, then you're making changes from an inspired place, which literally means in spirit. Motivation is never lasting. That's an intellectual exercise. And so we've all been on diets, and by Tuesday you're saying, screw it, because it's too much change at once. But when you're inspired to do something, you want to do it. So you'll start to feel, well, I don't want to smoke anymore, or I don't want to drink so much alcohol, or I don't want to eat meat or have so much dairy, and I'm really craving fruits and vegetables. And then you start to get into balance, and then you end up craving the things that are good for you, and it becomes very, very easy.
Well, that's what brought the change for me, was I was starting to listen to my body. I learned how to start going within and focusing, and says, what is it saying to me? What is this doing for me? Is this something? Sure, it's a part of the old culture, and I always used to do it, and it tastes great. But here I'm finding is I don't really desire those things anymore. I have pretty much cut dairy totally out of my diet other than I have a little bit of ice cream now and then. Still an ice cream fan. As I said, I can't remember the last time I've had a steak. And every once in a while, I still have a hamburger. But I minimize it. I keep it very much to a minimum. And I can tell the difference of when I take those.
You do have to be careful because they're still processed and you want the minimal amount of processing. But
yes.
There are less plant-based alternatives. There's plant-based milk and there's ice cream made from coconut milk and almond milk, Dave.
Yes, yes.
So, coconut milk ice cream is one of my favorite things. And so, but you notice, you know, you get your feedback from the body. And, you know, when I was doing, I did a training with Deepak Chopra and David Simon and then the Vedic Master with the Chopra Center. And, you know, some of the things I was trying to fight them on, like going to bed early, you know, Dr. Simon said to me, he said, I said, I'm a night owl. I've always been a night owl. He said, you just got into a bad habit. And I didn't believe him. But when I did the practice and started going to bed at 10:30, I woke up naturally and fully awake at 5 o'clock. I did my meditation. I had some better energy during the day. And I tried it for 7 days, and it was absolutely right. Do I still fight that from time to time? I do, because it's in my nature to want to be up at that time. But it's not healthy. I feel better when I do the practices. And so the result is, you know, just feeling good. And having joy and manifesting and, you know, and just feeling good in your body, mind, and heart, and spirit.
Good. Okay, Blanca, is there anything you'd like to share with us as we wrap up the program tonight?
Well, I'm just glad to have been able to join you all for this conversation. Again, we can talk forever on this. But, Joanne, I really wish you very good luck with your summit, and I'm excited that the Dave's audience is going to be able to plug in. I think it would be valuable information.
Yeah.
And Dave's, the interview Dave and I did is fantastic, so don't miss it.
Thank you very much. And folks, I again want to share, this is the first time you've actually been able to see Blanca versus just hearing her. And I am going to be making that transition. I'm going to be moving away from Blog Talk Radio because this new Zoom that I can bring in is that you will still be able to use your phone to call in if you have any questions over that process. And so I think, Blanca, obviously, as we continue the programs, it'd be nice to having you there. And, yeah, they can see people, you and I, interacting, and the people would, you know, would like. It's always nice when you see a face versus just hear a voice, when you get the two of them combined. So, and you have that nice, wonderful smile. So, okay. I think that's it then. Are we ready to call it an evening? Okay. Well, let me get the little jingle that I always get that I bring up on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know how much of a heard this, but folks, thank you very much, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you very much, everybody. Okay. Bye-bye.